Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hi, everyone. I'm Belinda Ellsworth, and I want to welcome you to Work From Your Happy Place. We have a great show in store for you today. Great guest. I have Lisa Bilyeu with me. And from film student to full-time housewife to world-class entrepreneur, Lisa is a master of adaptation and personal growth. As a founding team member of the billion-dollar company Quest Nutrition, she built the company's revolutionary in-house media department that not only made cutting-edge social marketing materials, but also helped facilitate the company's meteoric rise to number 2 on the Inc. 500 list of the fastest-growing private companies. Now, as a co-founder and president of Impact Theory, her mission is to really create impact in the world and empower people across the globe to believe that they can be anything they set their mind to. It's my pleasure to welcome Lisa to our show.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Well, it's my pleasure. So, Lisa, why don't you take a few minutes and just tell us a little bit more about yourself and kind of fill us in on that journey a little bit.
Wow, yeah. So I guess went to film school in London, met my husband and moved to America, and we both had big dreams of being movie directors, being in the film industry, and we kind of went down that path and very quickly realized that for you to control your own destiny, you really do need to control the finances, because working on other people's sets, A, just in Hollywood, there is a whole hierarchy, and you know, my position, I was just doing set photography is like my foot in the door, and people would just step on you. They would have no respect for your position. And I didn't really like that industry, you know, and I dreamt my whole life of being a movie director. And here I was on a movie set and just was miserable, hated it, didn't like the culture. And so my husband and I just turned around and we're like, okay, well, I guess we're going to have to finance our own things for us to really have the control that we're looking for. And so that took us down a whole different path of entrepreneurship and really working just to make money. And we'd agreed as a partnership that he would go out and build a company and I would stay home. And we would call it, I was the president of Bilyeu Enterprises. And Bilyeu Enterprises was pretty much me being a housewife, where I would take care of the clothes, the laundry, the house, the bills, the finances, so that literally my husband could be 100% in on building a business. And so I was taking care of everything else. But in essence, I really was a housewife. And I hadn't really ever thought of myself like that until I actually had to fill out an immigration form and it said profession. And as I was filling it out and wrote housewife, because I didn't know really what else to put, I started to think about what my life really looked like and what I was actually doing with myself. And that happened to have coincided with my husband being completely miserable at his business, trying to earn money purely just for the sake of earning money. And he turned around and said he was completely miserable and wanted to leave the company he had just spent the last 8 years building. And to me, happiness is everything. And I really think that fulfillment, and not to be cheesy, but fulfillment really is, for me, the driving force every morning to get up out of bed, is if you're feeling fulfilled. And he wasn't. And as a wife, even though he was bringing in good money, like, I just couldn't support what that was bringing to his life. So we agreed, okay, let's stop chasing money and let's really go after what we're passionate about. And that really kind of started with him and his business partner sitting together and saying, what would they love to do every day, even if they weren't making money? And the answer was nutrition. And so I basically jumped in, like, I'm your wife, you know, said to my husband, baby, I'll help you on anything you need. So he was like, okay, well, we're going to make these protein bars. Can you help out? And so I was just measuring ingredients from home. I was shipping protein bars from my living room floor. And within 5 years, we grew to be the second fastest growing company in North America and went from zero to $1 billion. And just, yeah, like, I, that was my first step into entrepreneurship. And I think because I just was thrown in kind of in the deep end, because we'd had our house on the line. So it was like, this has to succeed. And so even though initially I was like, oh, I'm just helping my husband out, it really did turn into a just something for me that I dug my heels into and was like, all right, we're in this together. Let's do this. And yeah, I learned from our shipping department how to grow that. Just every day it was like new challenges. And because I didn't have the notion of failing, like I just thought, I'm going to lose my house. So every second that I can possibly push to make this successful, I really do need to go all in. Because otherwise, why am I going to gamble my house? Like, unless I'm willing to go all in myself.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
And what a great way to look at that. I think people sometimes look at too many little details or too many things they can't do. But if you just stay focused on the big thing, I remember when I started my business, I would take a gig for speaking and say, okay, it might not be exactly what I wanted, but this speaking gig is going to pay my house payment this month, or this is going to pay our phone bill this month, right? And I just took it one day at a time. And as I did that, and instead of being maybe unhappy with what I thought it should look like, I was just out doing. And in doing, I built a reputation. And it grew from there to where then we were booked so solid, and I was able to increase my rates rapidly because we were booked so solid. So I think people should look at, what do I need right now in this moment, and what am I willing to work to get for that, instead of getting so caught up in what they don't have, what if this happens, what if that happens. They just aren't willing to get all in, I guess is it, and take whatever they can get in that moment.
Yeah, I think fear really does paralyze us. And for me, I've learned to, it's not that I don't have the fear, it's that I've just learned to ignore it. You know, I just think it comes down to, like, I didn't want to lose my house, right? And so that for me was, I wouldn't have been homeless. I know that I have friends and family that I can turn to, but I didn't want to lose this house that I had just bought. So I just said to myself, every time, Lisa, you hit a roadblock, every time you feel the fear, or every time you come up with a problem or a struggle, you just need to ask yourself, are you willing to go that much further to save the house? Because I never wanted to turn around and have lost my house and say, how did this happen? This wasn't my fault. You know, it's like you've got to eliminate all of those possibilities, so that if I lost my house, I go, well, you know what, Lisa, you really did give it everything. You put your heart and soul into it. You faced all fears. You didn't back down, and you still failed. Okay, I can live with that. I can live with that failure. But what I can't live with is feeling sorry for myself that I've lost my house and still knowing that I could have done more to save it. And so I just would constantly remind myself of that notion.
That's great. So tell us a little bit then about your business today and how it's shaped your lifestyle.
Wow. So I went from Quest Nutrition to then we started building our new company, Impact Theory, because we really felt like wellness was both body and mind. So you can take care of your body, but if your mind isn't intact or isn't sharp or isn't strong, then your body's only going to be able to do so much. And we realized that with Quest Nutrition and our protein bars, we really did hit the nail on the head, and people were reaching out saying how much we'd, you know, changed their lives, whether it was weight loss or being diabetic or all these different things. But then I realized that, like, my mom and my husband's mom are still severely overweight. So there was these people that we couldn't quite reach, people that were still suffering, people that were still going through depression and anxiety, as a result, whether it be, you know, going through being overweight or just, like I said, being depressed. We realized there was a whole aspect of humanity that we just weren't really dealing with. And if our true mission is to help impact people, you couldn't ignore the mind. So we basically took our success from Quest and we said, okay, well, let's go to the mind and really make a difference there. So we started building Impact Theory. And for me personally, that was a major transition, just like being a housewife going into Quest Nutrition. It was that major for me, from going from Quest Nutrition to Impact Theory. And the reason being is, for so long it was, okay, work hard, work hard, work hard, build the company. And over time, I was really like, okay, now I actually have to think about myself. What do I actually enjoy? What does my lifestyle look like? I'm working so hard and I don't mind putting in the hours, but am I actually happy? Am I actually being fulfilled? And instead of being caught up in all the you know, the mm-hmm. pizzazz and the wonder of like, oh my God, I've just built the studio and that's been my dream to own my own studio. And here I am at Quest Nutrition with a media department. I had 20 people, you know, producers, directors, editors all working underneath me. And I just stopped and was like, am I happy? And the truth was I wasn't. And I didn't ask myself the question until I just started feeling like there was an emptiness that wasn't full. And I started to realize it was because I was so focused on what the dream would be that I didn't actually think about what it would feel like. And once I started realizing this is how it feels, I was like, wow, I've been chasing something that isn't really completing me. So because we were doing great content, I mean, Quest, you know, we were doing music videos and we had cranes and we had dancers and we were having this big crew and it was exciting, but it wasn't fulfilling because I didn't feel like I was actually making impact anymore like we did back in the first few years of Quest, you know, making the bars. So we said, okay, let's start a new company and really try and impact people who feel helpless and lost right now. So when we started Impact Theory, my entire life changed again because my mission had altered and it wasn't about building the big studio, although I still absolutely dream of that and work towards that. It just wasn't my, let's say, compass. And so my compass now is helping people, really being able to help people break free of their own trappings of their own mind with, you know, feeling like they don't have the control of their life and things like that, and really creating content that can empower them and impact them. And so that's really changed how I feel about myself. And as each day, you know, when I wake up, I'm so driven of like the new content that we can create to really get that, you know, new flux of people that are like, wow, you've, you know, really been able to help me. So that's kind of how my business has really shaped who I am as a person and how I feel about myself and my own personal drives.
Well, that is fantastic. There were so many great little nuggets in there. I hope our listeners will go back and listen to all of that because you just brought out so many wonderful little points and it was really great. So thank you for that. So let's talk about skill sets. What do you feel that are a couple of your greater skill sets that have just helped you in this journey, really, with two fabulous businesses now?
Skill set, I don't know if you'd call this a skill set, but I don't use failure or fear to stop me from really continuing on my journey. I can take bumps and hits along the way and I'll fall, but I just tell myself that it's not permanent, that everything I'm going through is temporary, and that I believe in myself enough to say, get up off your feet and prove yourself that you can really do something. So I don't know if this is a skill set, but I work very hard at it because it's very easy to fall into the trappings of I'm not very good, you know, the self-doubt, the fear of what if I fail, what are people going to think of me? Like, I have all of those natural inclinations just like everybody else. I just don't allow myself to succumb to them. And I've over time really tried to develop that skill set because I think when you're trying to build your own business or do anything, whether it's be a great mom, you know, whatever your goal is, I think we're never going to naturally be like that. Like, you always have to keep pushing yourself to be that one step better. And to push yourself means you have to address your failures, your inadequacies, and not be deterred by it. And when I was younger in my teenage years, I was picked on and bullied, and I just had very low self-esteem. And because I think of that, I just told myself that I can't let my own emotions and my own thoughts get in my own way. And that if I do, and I look back and say, wow, my life didn't turn out the way I wanted it to, it's because I did that. And I think taking ownership and control of that has been a very powerful thing for me. So that is a skill set I've just trained myself on. And then just an innate part of my personality is I'm a bit of a bull in a china shop, so I don't quit. So, you know, if something does get me down, it's like the perseverance from it where it's like, you better get yourself back up, Lisa, because this isn't going to define you. And so like that kind of bull in china shop mentality where like I just keep going, even if I keep failing. Yeah, like that voice really kind of contradicts the negativity that I feel about myself. So it's like playing with both of them, if that makes any sense at all.
Completely, completely. And I think this has been really great. And I think that people don't look at this as a skill set. And I think when you said it, I'm like, yeah, I think it's super important. But would I have labeled that necessarily as a skill set? But I think today, especially, it certainly is. And I'll tell you why. More and more people, like we're starting to see, I teach on goal setting and this whole fear of failure, and it's rising. Like when I ask for a show of hands in an audience, I cannot tell you how many people are not setting goals. Like it's becoming, you know, it's gone from the average person to be 25% to, you know, 15% to, we're looking at like less than 10% of an audience of anybody that is willing to set goals. And the number one reason that they're not willing to set a goal is because of the fear of failure. Mm-hmm. And so that never used to be. When I used to ask, what's holding you back? For most people, it was, well, I just do this part-time. This is just a part-time thing for me. So why do I need a goal if I'm just doing this on the side? Or, you know, this isn't really what I'm intended to do. It was all wrapped up in how they saw themselves, either this being their lifelong career or whatever. So they also don't set goals because they feel it's not as important. But this fear of failure is growing. And so I do think that's a skill set. And I do think that you hit it even more is it's a habit. Mm-hmm. It's a habit in the way that you train your brain to think. No one is not going to have those doubts and everything. It's how quickly do you recognize it and you move on from it. That's what I think.
Yeah, God, that's absolutely true. You know, the habit of self-doubt is like, I think so, at least for me, it was so overwhelming that I realized like, if I really do want to succeed, I have to change, right? The famous Einstein quote is definition of insanity is doing the same thing, expecting a different result. So if I really do want to succeed, I have to look very harshly at myself and say, okay, what are the things that are getting in your way? And for a long time, I actually, like my skill set, I try to stop feeling the fear. And I would keep going and I would try. And every time it's like, nope, didn't succeed. I'm, don't know if I can swear, but I'm shit scared. You know, and I just realized, wow, like this is a habit now that I'm thinking about the fear and I'm succumbing to it. So I have to change that. I have to change the way I'm thinking. I have to change the habit loop in my head. And I have to force myself to execute in different ways to then change that. And I really do think that that takes a lot of skill. It takes time. Mm-hmm. It takes habit. It takes energy. It takes consciousness. It takes recognition. And, you know, if you think about playing basketball, I think that not that I'm a basketball player, so I'm not sure why I played football. But, you know, let's say football or soccer in my terms, is that you have to practice, right? It's like you're never going to grab the football and go out on the field and hope to score a goal. Like you have to keep training, recognize where you're weak, strengthen your muscles, strengthen your flexibilities. You know, Bruce Lee, for instance, he says, don't think kick, just kick. And that's where I'm trying to train myself. It's like, I don't want to be thinking about it. I want to just be innate in me. But for it to be innate in me, I have to train. It's the wax on, wax off model, you know, in Karate Kid. You know, right. You have to keep waxing on and waxing off for it to become a natural being inside you. And so I kind of attack it from that perspective.
Very good. So quickly, I know we've covered some of these, but I still love asking them. So one of your most outstanding accomplishments, something you've achieved that's meaningful?
Oh, I mean, the obvious one is Quest Nutrition and Impact Theory. But to be more specific, it was really, and I don't know if this really counts, but this is one impactful moment that I've held with me since we started. The very first letter we ever got at Quest Nutrition, I'm sorry, not actually the first letter. We'd got lots of letters saying, thank you so much for helping me lose weight, etc. And then there was one mother that wrote in and was like, there's no product out there that is sweet that my child can eat because he has diabetes. And for the longest time, I actually just felt like a terrible mother because I had to tell my son, no, you can't have this. No, you can't have that. And she's like, the first time I discovered Quest and I gave it to him and it didn't spike his blood sugar, she's like, you actually made me feel like a better mother. And I like it, even just repeating that story every time, it gives me the absolute chills because for me, it's like, yes, it's great to build a company. Yes, it's great. Like, I think wealth creation is beautiful, especially when you can use it for to create impact with others. And so while I'm very proud of the company and what that has brought to, you know, other people in general, the one thing was like to really be able to connect and emotionally make a difference to somebody in that type of way. Like, that has been like one of my biggest pleasures personally.
That's great. So share with us an obstacle or challenge, and then how did you work through that?
So I think that I've had many challenges along the way. I think everybody has, you know, no matter what path, with whether you're, you know, being an entrepreneur or something else. But the one thing that rings a bell, which was kind of, it's a fun story to tell, was when we were at Quest Nutrition, we just started making bars on the machine. So initially we were making them all by hand with knives and, you know, a rental kitchen. And we'd elevated to facility and we were making the bars. Now we just hired our first crew members, which was super exciting because we were making the bars all ourselves, me, my husband, and his business partners. And it was so exciting to have a professional line with actual people making them while we could start running, you know, building up the business on the back end. And maybe 2-3 weeks in, one of the guys comes up and was like, I'm so, so sorry. And he had like this horror look on his face. He's like, we've just went to make run a bar line, a product, and it cost us about $5,000 per batch. Now, $5,000 when you're just starting up is a lot of money, like a lot of money.
Yep.
So we do this batch and he's like, I'm so sorry, we've ruined it. And we're like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, we basically were making the peanut butter batch, the peanut butter bar, and we put in the wrong flavorings, and we actually put the flavorings of the berry flavor.
Oh.
So he's like, we've completely wasted the batch. We can't sell it now. It doesn't taste normal. He's like, I'm so sorry. And like, we were like, oh my God, like this is, you know, most of our budget for the month. We've just lost an entire batch. What are we going to do? So my husband turns around. He's like, well, let's just try it. So we try it and we're all standing around and my husband's like, it kind of tastes like peanut butter and jelly. And we're like, yeah. Now being British, I'd never even eaten a peanut butter and jelly sandwich before, so I actually couldn't chime in. But I was like, it kind of tastes nice. And everyone's like, yeah, it kind of does. So we're like, how do we change the narrative, right? The narrative right now is like, oh my God, we're about to lose $5,000. But what if we changed it? What would that narrative look like? The narrative could look like, how do we make this the best thing that could ever happen to us? Like Tony Robbins says. So we're like, okay, how do we make this the best thing that's ever happened to us? So we're like, what if we try to sell it and just say, hey, it's a new product. We're going to call it the peanut butter and jelly bar. There's a limited run. It's, you know, limited edition of 400 boxes. Buy it now and give us your feedback because we want to hear what you think. So we're like, okay, well, you know, look, we're just going to trash it anyway. Let's see if anyone will buy it. We'll, you know, we didn't have any wrappers at the time, so we put them in blank wrappers. We printed out a little piece of paper that said, you know, trial period, limited edition, peanut butter and jelly, and these are the nutrition values. And we blasted it on our social media. Now, back then, no one was really using social media as a platform, but that's actually how we started to build our company. So we just put it on Facebook and we're like, hey guys, we've got 400 boxes here, limited edition, peanut butter and jelly, who wants it? And we sold out in like 2 hours. People were going crazy over it. Feedback was like, oh my God, this is the best bar ever. Please do make it. And so we ended up making it into an actual product. And, you know, when we released it, it became our best-selling bar at the time. So we took a complete failure, about to lose, you know, half our funding to, you know, creating a new product that people love.
That is a fabulous story. I ask people this all of the time. What is your greatest challenge and how did you overcome it? And here's the funniest thing. Rarely do people actually really answer that question with an actual story. You know, I think they're trying to get really deep, like,
right.
And they want to think about maybe the worst thing that ever happened in their life. And it sometimes doesn't relate to the business whatsoever. And so I always think, am I not framing this question correctly? And you answered it spot on.
Oh,
like, you did. It's like, I'm always just looking for, okay, you're going along in your business. What is a challenge? And then like, how did you face it? Because there are a lot of people that would have scrapped it and tried to figure out how they were going to come up with another $5,000 in order to do the run instead of saying, like, that's a perfect story. I love it, love it, love it. And I'm so glad you shared it, because rarely do I get that kind of example from the people that are on the show, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I think people go straight to the emotion, right? And that's actually where my mind went first of all, because like I desperately try not to dwell on any mistakes that I've made, because I don't think it serves you. It doesn't serve my business. It doesn't serve my future. It doesn't serve my goals. So I definitely try not to dwell on it. So I try to think, how could I change this into positive thinking? How can I use this as a motivation? But like you said, when you're actually in the midst of it and it's like, how do you use that practically? I think it's asking yourself that question. And like I said, I want to, you know, Tony Robbins came up with it, but I use it all the time. Like any problem I have is like, how is this the best thing that could happen to you? And it just makes you think about things differently. And I say that in the business sense, not emotionally. I also actually do that emotionally on the side. Like, how can this downfall in your emotions, you know, be fixed? But in business, like, yeah, any problem that I have, I try to think of it in that way.
Great. So what advice would you give to others wanting to be an entrepreneur?
I think, there's so many questions I would have first. Like, does it align with your passions? I think that that's a major thing, because being an entrepreneur these days is like a cool thing to say, but I don't think it's for everybody. And I wouldn't be an entrepreneur if I didn't have my husband as my business partner. And that is the honest truth. I love what it brings. And so it fits perfectly in my lifestyle, my personality, and my passions, or what I'm really trying to strive for. But I don't think that everybody should be an entrepreneur. And I think that if you do want to, it needs to align with your passion. And the reason why I say that is 100% chance you're going to fail. 100% chance you're going to fall on your face. 100% chance you're going to have to take, you know, a left turn, a right turn. You're going to have to maneuver, change the way you're approaching things. And so if you don't have that passion, if you don't have that deep-seated drive that makes you get up every day, then you're never going to succeed, because then again, it's going to come back down to money, right? Like, you're working for money because you think that with the money, you're going to live a certain lifestyle. And it just doesn't work like that, sadly, you know, it just doesn't. And so, yeah, the advice, like, first of all, is you have to make sure that that aligns with your dreams and your passion to get you out of bed every day. And then just accept that you will fail. And for me, that has been the most beautiful thing that I can tell myself, because it doesn't then paralyze me. You know how we were talking earlier about the fear about not setting goals because you're worried you're going to fail. I just say, great, I'm going to fail at this. But what am I going to learn? And what am I going to improve on? And how is this going to better my life? And so I just shift the mindset to a positive one, so that when I do fail, I don't let it break me.
That is great. And that is super great advice. Thank you so much. So in closing, share with our listeners some exciting things that you're working on. And then how can people find you?
Yeah. So first of all, you can find me primarily on Instagram at Lisa Bileu, B-I-L-Y-E-U. That's really where I kind of pour my heart out with business, with relationship, with working with my husband full time, with being a woman who's chosen to not have children and actually kind of go all in onto the entrepreneurship. I speak very openly about all of this, because I think they're just subjects that a lot of women specifically suffer from. And, you know, I'm kind of working through it every day as well. So I like to kind of use my Instagram as a real-time feedback on what I'm going through. But from a project standpoint, so step one was building Impact Theory, our social. My husband's the host of our show, Impact Theory, the show where we have big influencers who have achieved great things come on the show and pretty much talk about exactly what we've spoken about the hurdles, the humps, and everything they have to go through to, you know, become successful. And then the second element of that is now what I'm building out, which is called Women of Impact. So it's women. I'm so into female empowerment that, you know, I wanted a kind of place where people can go and really get a, you know, wide knowledge of like the books to read that I felt like has impacted me. But taking that even one step further, I'm obsessed with Wonder Woman. I think what she stands for is so empowering.
Yes.
You know, and the more I talk to women, the more I think like every woman wants to be a superhero. And I think every woman doesn't have to be an entrepreneur, doesn't have to, you don't have to actually have superpowers. But the strength of what a woman could be, I find extremely exciting. And when I speak to women, they do too. So I'm actually in the process of producing my first all-female comic book. series, which is about empowerment and actually catered more to adults. It's more of a graphic novel, but taking real influences in the real world and creating superheroes out of them and using real stories to really empower women of all ages, especially younger women, because I find that, you know, for me, that's where I struggled the most with self-esteem, believing in myself, believing in what I was capable of. And I think that Wonder Woman is so amazing, but she's from World War II. So what would Wonder Woman look like in today's society? She would be an entrepreneur. She may even be a mother. She would, you know, be in a relationship. She would take all the knocks that we all do, but she would get back up again. So really kind of creatively taking the real world of female empowerment and making it empowering in an entertaining world, because I think that that's how you really make global changes, using entertainment as the source.
Well, that is wonderful, and I'm sure our listeners are going to be checking out your information, and thank you so much for being with us today and sharing so many wonderful nuggets, because your enthusiasm shines through in your conversation. So thank you so much for sharing that with us today.
Oh, and thank you. I really appreciate you having me on and being so awesome and doing this fantastic podcast to help others. So yeah, it's an absolute honor. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.